Welcome back into the expansive world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboo topics around our sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality, and dive headfirst into the shadows. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows, uniting us with all of it. And we are continuing the super juicy, sexy topic of money. This is our second week diving into this topic. And today we are joined by the beautiful, wonderful Angie Carlson. So, as we continue this topic of money can be a source of stress or a tool for empowerment. And Angie Carlson is dedicated to making it the latter. With over 20 years in finance, she brings expertise and passion to help clients finally achieve financial success. Through Carlson Financial Coaching, Angie empowers couples to ease money tensions and create a stress-free financial future together. Her approach is rooted in personal success, years as a financial aid director, and a deep commitment to her clients' goals. Thank you so much, Angie, for being here on the show with us. We are super grateful to continue this discussion. There's so many money codes. I know this is like such a huge, deep topic, and I'm really excited to see what you have to share with all of us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me here. I'm excited to share.
Yeah, so the first question I guess I have for you, just to get right in there and ask, what, since you work with couples, like this is your niche. I'm sure you work with individuals too. You've helped individuals, but I'm curious, like, what is the biggest blockage or problem you see when it comes to couples with their finances? And how is it that you are able to successfully guide them through those blockages? I just want to go straight into the deep end, to the shadow realm.
No, that's all right. Let's go into the deep end. Let's just bring out the taboo early. And so yeah, so when it comes to couples, what I see a lot is most couples, they know they've met their person, they're very deeply in love. And where the tension is that their money is not at the same level of how much they love each other, and it could be for a variety of reasons. Everything from how they were raised, how did their parents use money, what did they do or not do, what were their experiences as an adult, maybe as a single, did they have a prior relationship where money was maybe the cause of that relationship ending, and what are their opinions and experiences about money themselves. And so what I see with a lot of couples, especially couples that they come together, they each worked a financial plan that worked great when they were single. They'll come together and then they're like, well, I don't want to like ditch what I was doing to do something that may not work when something else has worked for me. Or maybe they've seen their parents do something with money and they're like, well, I'm not going to make their mistakes, but I don't necessarily know what to do. And it's also hard to talk about it because when we talk about money, we're bringing up parts of ourselves that may be full of shame, embarrassment, resentment. And that's not exactly the part of ourselves that we want to show to our partner. We want to show them the best part of ourselves. And sometimes that's with money, but most of the time it's not.
Yeah, I'm hearing there's like lots of different factors and reasons that money can be a block in relationships, all the way from how we're raised and our beliefs around money from our parents. It's like that's such a huge one, the imprint that we have. And then also like talking about money and just the taboo around, like I just would love to go a little bit more into that as well. Like, why is it so taboo just to talk about money? Because I remember growing up in a household where we were middle class Americans. Both my parents were full-time workers. We had enough money to put myself and my brother through a private school and had all of our needs met. But yet there was just, if I asked my parents anything, I remember specifically, I'm such a curious person and was such a curious child and was always interested in taboo. And I was always kind of pushing the buttons to see what was appropriate. And I just remember so many times being shut down from my dad around money. You don't talk about that. That's not appropriate. That's a private matter. That's a grown-up matter. Things like this. And I really feel like those imprints set me back as an adult, as a young adult, especially around money. And I would love to hear what you have to say around the taboo of just talking about money, and then how just simply talking about it actually maybe frees room for it to actually flow into our lives easier.
Yeah. And with everything that you just said, that's the reason it's taboo, because we're in a society where we get a lot of judgment. And that has just amplified as social media and all these online platforms have become more of the rage. And none of us want to be judged for decisions that we make. And that happens a lot in society. And so it makes sense that when we're asked questions about our money, we don't want to talk about it. And it's not that we don't want to help our children, we don't want to help others. The fear is greater that we're going to get shamed, blamed, or guilted for something that we've said. And who wants to be judged for doing something that they think is right? And so for me, that's why I've developed the Agree and Achieve method. And the first part of my method is we need to get clear on where you two want your money to go. And part of that step is decoding your decision-making process, which is very uncomfortable because that decision-making process is just something you've had and you haven't really given thought to. It's like, how do you decide your morning routine, right? Like, we don't even think about it unless maybe we don't have a cup of coffee in the morning and then we think about it. But we do so many things in our life that are just on autopilot. And even just slowing down to kind of be like, okay, what's even on autopilot? Can be very uncomfortable because we're just so used to it.
Yeah, I feel like even specific numbers, like talking about specific numbers, was what I've noticed is the biggest taboo. Like, for instance, how much money do you make a year? What's your income? And I feel that in my experience, the more that I've actually liberated certain specific numbers, it inspires me to see that that's possible for me too. And it almost like destigmatizes something that has shame around it, which I don't know why there's shame around making a lot of money. I don't know, I'm just kind of processing this now because I feel like the reason my parents didn't want to share specific numbers is because they're Christian, we grew up Christian, and there's this whole like shame around making too much money, and then you're greedy. You can be greedy or lustful around that money. And yeah, I would love to just like dive into that a little bit more if either of you guys have personal experience in just sharing around certain numbers and liberating those numbers, because I think there's so much power in that. To like proclaim how much money, especially as a woman, a wealthy woman, it's so powerful to be like, hey, this is how much money I'm making, and this is possible for you too. Like, let's dream bigger together instead of putting this in the shadow and saying something we don't talk about. Why not? It's kind of like sex. Why not talk about our amazing orgasms? My amazing orgasm can inspire your amazing orgasm. My $100,000 a month can inspire your $100,000 a month. No, it's like, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. And as a Christian, I see that in the faith too. And it's one of those things. I fully believe that money just shows more of what we are. So like if we are generous with a little, we're going to get a lot of money and we're going to be even more generous. If we hoard a little bit of money, we're going to hoard a lot of money. And so it's really one of those things that just really reveals who we are as a person. And revealing part of our inner knowing is, to me, part of what makes money so such a taboo topic is we're not just revealing how much we make in a year because there's judgments around that. You know, if you make $80,000 a year in Iowa, you're going to be living a great life. If you make $80,000 a year in Hawaii, that's going to be a little tough. And so there's also all these nuances with money that just, it's hard to just say this is the one size fits all. Like you can't just say, you know, walk 10,000 steps a day and you might see these results. They're all so specific based on the person, and all the advice out there is so general, which makes sense because you can't write to, you know, everyone in the world's specific situation. That's why personalized support is really required to work through just the tabooness of it, the conversations of it, how you feel about it, What parts of the money do you want to expose to the world? Because just because we have it doesn't mean we're required to tell everybody we have it either. So what do we want our life to look like, and what parts of ourselves do we want to reveal?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it is a really individualized experience, but I feel like I've noticed the people that I spend time with tend to have the same stories around money. And I wonder if we zoom out, right, and you've been working in this field for a while, if there's been a common thread of a fear or a story that shows up that perhaps those who are listening can relate to. You know, like there's just the nail on the head, the pinpoint of it all.
Yeah, the one thing that I see that's really strange and definitely falls under the whole taboo thing is the fear of success. Like, what kind of to the point made earlier, what if we get too much money? What are people going to see us as? And it's almost like I see people that they want to stay in their situation that they're in and they hate because they're so scared that becoming successful is going to have so many other people not like them. And therefore, that's going to make their quality of life worse than what they have today. It's really fascinating. I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know the psychology behind all this, but that's just something I see a lot of too. And as I'm talking to couples, especially some that are working towards retirement, if they don't have a clear vision of what they want their life to look like, I'll have a conversation with them. They're at retirement and they have no debt, house paid off, and seven-figure net worth. And they don't want to be in the same room with each other because there's resentment from how they handled things, or maybe one just did the financial plan and drugged the other one along. One didn't feel like they were heard. And it's like, you don't want to go through your life and work 30, 40 years to have the end result be a pile of money and you're not happy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Alignment feels so important. And there, like you said, there are so many nuances to this topic, and it is a sensitive one. And for me, in my journey, it's just been, I mean, initially, like kind of pretending that money didn't exist, right? Like I would get it and I would just spend it. Like I didn't have a financial plan at a certain point in my life. I didn't have goals. I was just like, oh, it comes and it goes. It comes and it goes. And so I've really grappled with that and done some work around kind of liberating money from my psyche, you know, and liberating the stories that I have, like the narrative that I don't want to say negative narratives, but the narratives that weren't supportive, right? And I want to know how, if you're open to sharing, how you work with clients to kind of rewrite, ultimately rewire these neural pathways, right? Because we're going to, like Alfina said, to our childhood, where these seeds were rooted, and now we're adults and they've just been, now they're weeds, right? So like, how do you pick the weeds and how do you clear the space to say it's safe to talk about money? Like what I want is safe to speak into. Like what does that process look like if I were a client, per se?
Yeah, well, first we have to recognize, is it a weed? Because sometimes weeds look like flowers. And so we really have to even identify what is a weed. And so what part of it is we do, look at your experiences with money, and we really look at, okay, what are the things that are amplifying that tension in your relationship? And if you don't know exactly what they are, that's okay. Just describe a couple times where you really felt that money tension that's amplified. Not that we want to relive it, but it just gives me a basis to kind of be like, okay, what do we look at here? And I had one client, she worked with another financial coach before she worked with me. And we found out that her story was she was raised in a household that didn't have a lot of money. And so her money story was every time money comes into the house, you spend it all and then some because you don't know when it's coming back. And she had been working over a decade getting a consistent paycheck, but would spend her paycheck every payday because she never trusted it was going to show up the next one, even with a decade of evidence that it always came.
Wow. That's a
And
deep one.
so,
That hits
yeah,
me
and so
too.
that goes to show you that, I mean, I'm not a licensed therapist, so there's sometimes we find roots like that, and it's like, there's part of this that will need to go to therapy because I help with the behaviors going forward, not analyzing what happened. But knowing that, it's like her coaching is, okay, we just need you to keep money in your account 3 days past payday to start. Like, we just need to get you comfortable with just hanging on to the money because hanging on to the money was so uncomfortable, especially when you're taught to spend it all. And you have the same thing that you have someone who wants to save, 40, 50% of their paycheck for retirement, and their spouse is like feeling suffocated because they don't get to live a life. Well, those are things that we discuss too, because there's got to be a balance to all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that was coming through when you were sharing around earlier around the behaviors around money too is like money is just an amplifier, right? Like it's just going to amplify whatever patterns it are already existing in the relationship or within the individual, right? So if there's like power dynamics already playing in the couple, then those power dynamics will play out through the money most likely. If there's scarcity from like this story around losing money and needing to spend it, then that will project onto the money. If someone's already a generous, kind person, then they're probably going to be generous and kind with the money. Or if they're greedy and selfish, they're probably going to do greedy and selfish things with the money too. And this is more of the psychology around it. But I think that oftentimes there's so much projected onto money when in reality, money is this neutral currency. And instead of projecting onto the money that money is something that should be feared or it's the greatest source of life, whatever it is what, that we're projecting onto it, to be able to peel back those layers of projection and understand that that's just an element of ourselves. And it's interesting hearing you talking about these specific cases, because I'm feeling like there's so much around money that's actually like therapy. Like how we show up with money is a direct reflection of the relationship we have with ourselves around like how much do we trust ourselves? How worthy do we feel that we are to receive what we desire? What are our fears? What are our blockages? Like it kind of all shows up in our relationship with money. There's so much information in how we spend and save and hold money that can help us become so much more self-aware in general in so many other parts of our life. And in my money journey, I noticed that I feel like I've been removing some really big blockages recently, and it hasn't connected to me getting. Like doing anything necessarily different in my physical surroundings. If anything, I'm actually doing less, but I'm valuing myself more. And I am claiming my worthiness, not only to myself, but holding it down and anchoring in my relationships with other people around me and in how I show up and how I spend my time. And that is has been the biggest shift of anything. Just working on these like core energetic frequencies more than the budgeting and the planning. And I'm not saying those things aren't important when it comes to money, but I think oftentimes those things can be neglected in a more logical, analytical world that we live in, where you just work more hours, you just ask for a pay raise, and you just budget wisely and save. That was how I was told to handle money. I was never taught the emotions around money or the visualizations or the worthiness and those the energetics. I was never taught any of that around money. And so I think that it's super important and it's like a missing part of the equation that we're not as oftenly taught in our world in our society. So yeah, I'd be curious to hear you expand a little bit more about that for people that are like they're like, I'm doing everything right, but I just feel exhausted and worn out, and I want more money. Like, what else can I do to shift my relationship with money and let it flow in with more ease?
Yeah, I love that because my husband and I did a budget for a decade and we felt like we made no progress. And so that's why, as we started talking about it, one of the biggest things that we had to learn is there's so much money available to us outside the budget. Like the budget just reflects our income, expenses. The budget just reflects things that we know or anticipate. And what people tend to miss is like when they think of, like, if you think of an unexpected financial event, your brain immediately goes to all of the bad financial events, like medical event, car repair, loved one dying. But they don't think of like the good unexpected financial events, like tax refund or money, like, because money can just show up from anywhere. And we saw that on our journey to the point that I like was even questioning all my logic. So I'm just like, I'm not efforting as much and the money just keeps coming. It was, to me, this was like wild because I had like never had anything like that before. But really, like when we look around, we have like, if we go look in like a room in our house, like I'm sitting in a room right now and I've got like, 50 books up on a shelf here. Well, if push came to shove and I didn't have access to any of the traditional tools and I need to make money, I've got things I can sell to go make money. Like there's all these other things that we can do outside of working hard. Not that working hard can't be a part of it for a season, but if we are just relying on working hard, then we're going to get to the point our bodies are going to break down. And that retirement we thought we were working so hard for probably isn't going to be the fun retirement that we pictured. It's probably going to be one needing a lot of medical care, which that's also incredibly expensive. And so we're basically not progressing the goals that we want to either. And so I really teach my clients to be like, be thankful for like when money shows up unexpectedly. You get a refund check. We appreciate all of those, regardless of the dollar amount. Something works out and goes your way. We appreciate that. You go to the store, you hit sales. We appreciate all that because what we appreciate appreciates. And so we want to really just be thankful for everything that we have. Like, be thankful that we have electricity, we have private places to pee, we have a house we can live in. Like, we need to appreciate everything because money is what allows us to have a lot of that too. But we don't think of it because we're so bogged down by the day-to-day of I'm over budget, I don't have enough. All the stories we tell ourselves, when really we need to really look at, okay, what's everything that we do have?
Yeah, I love this so much. I was meditating a couple weeks ago, and when I opened my eyes, I just looked around at all of the stuff that, throughout the course of my life I bought, and I was like, I'm literally like sitting on and surrounded by money. It's everywhere. And that connection really freed up some space around the story of like, I don't have it. What am I going to do? How am I going to get there? I'm like, wait, I've always made it work. It's always come to me, right? Either through working or through a random flow from an unexpected source. And Alpha, I would love to share the story of the when we were in New York.
I was literally going to say you should tell that story as proof to one of these magical, miraculous moments.
It's wild. So yeah, we were both in New York City. We were there to host a workshop. Things weren't going as planned, and we were both in a tight, very tight financial place. And both of us needed a specific amount of money for rent or just to live. And we spoke a number, and we were both in the space of anxiousness. And I was like, okay, what can we do? And prior to that, I had gotten this download around a meditation or a process where you look around the space that you're in and you see the source of love and everything, right? Like you look over at a chair, and even if it's a replicated chair, at one point someone created that with love to make someone's life easier. So like God was all around, right? So we were kind of just looking around the room and being like, oh my God, it's everywhere. Like love is everywhere, money is everywhere. And right after we finished this process, I got a call from my mom, and she was like, hey, were you expecting a check from the state of California? And I was like, no. How much is it for? And it was for the exact amount that I just spoke into. I think it was like $800. She's like, yeah, well, this is so weird, but you have a check here for $800 from the state of New York or from the state of California. And I was like, what? And then Alfina checked her situation. She's like, oh my God, my card has more money on it right now. And it was the exact amount that she needed. And it was within minutes. It was within minutes of doing this. Like as soon as we just connected to a new frequency and a new energy and the source of ultimately abundance, right? Which I believe is God-given, like our true source, our truth is abundance. We are abundant, limitless beings. That's when everything shifted. And it was just wild. I'm like, oh my God, it works. Like there's something to this.
Yeah,
So.
and that's some of the skill sets I teach my clients because there's actually places that you can go to see, does the state owe you any money? And so those are things that I teach my clients. It's actually part of a concept I've developed called Find Your Hidden 10K of like, what are all the places around you outside the budget that you weren't expecting things to come and happen? And money just shows up. So, I mean, I know on like our journey, we had just gotten debt free, but we didn't have anything saved yet. And it was 2019, polar vortex, negative 50 wind chills coming, like life and death cold. And our heat system goes out. Like we turn it on, we burn our house down, went out. And my husband and I were like, well, we have to replace this. We don't have the money, but our kids were really little. And we're like, okay, obviously our kids' lives are more important than the money. So we're just going to replace it and we'll figure it out. We go to leave for the hotel. The car doesn't start because it's cold. And like, it just was like one thing after another. I'm like, okay, well, we have enough to pay for the hotel. We have enough to get through this. And I'm like, we're just going to trust that the rest of it shows up. And then, unbeknownst to us, somebody told our church about it, and our church sent us a check to pay for almost half the HVAC. And we were like, oh my gosh, that was like exactly what we needed to cover it. And as we were on our journey of just trying to really get our financial foundation set up, like it just felt like we had a money tree in our backyard. Like we just got like, I mean, I can't tell you how many insurance audits we had that we were owed money. What? Like just different things that were just like ways I would have never expected money to show up came. And then like I had a client I was coaching, and she ended up getting a $10,000 business scholarship. She had no idea that that was coming and totally changed the trajectory, obviously freed up money for her financial goals. Or people on the journey, they'll just be like, yeah, this person we haven't talked to in all these years, they just sent us a check and they feel like guilty about it. And it's like, well, no, like, of course, because when you are managing God's resources for his glory, he will give you more resources to manage. And so that's okay. Like we say thank you. We don't be like, oh, somebody needs it more, which is what I used to do. I'm like, no, like I am a wise decision maker with my money. I can decide where it goes. If I want to give part of it or all of it, sure, I get the right to do that, but I'm not gonna say someone else needs to get it because there's a reason that I'm receiving it. Like, what do I need to learn?
And you
I
spoke.
love.
Oh, you go
Go
off.
ahead. Go ahead. I'll go after you.
Well, you just the word that came through that feels like a code around all of this was trust. Like as you were sharing that story, Angie, you were like, well, we trust. Like, okay, we'll pay for this and we trust that it's going to all work out. And I feel like that frequency, that remembrance is so crucial in times of tension, right? Like where all of a sudden you have a big move coming up and you don't feel like you have enough money for it, but you're just like, okay, I trust. Like really kind of centering and calming your, grounding your nervous system, balancing your nervous system to really come back to the truth that if you look back at your life, anytime you've had a financial crisis, has it worked out? And for me, the answer is always yes. Like something has come in, like whether it's like down to the skirt tail of the last minute, but like something we're very supported and we're very held. And how can we remind our bodies and ourselves of that during these times of tension? So, yeah, what were you gonna say,
I was
Elfie?
going to echo around trust and like not just trusting in the universe and also trusting in ourselves, like to reverberate what you're saying, Angie, is that if we don't trust ourselves on some deep subconscious level with money, whether that's, oh, I'm going to spend it all, I'm going to waste it, someone's going to steal it from me, whatever these subconscious fears that can be really rooted in there. If we don't trust ourselves with the money, then we're going to continue to reject it and deny it and block it from our lives. So that's been like a big thing for me too, where I had to build proof in trusting myself with the money because there was a subconscious fear that I had that I wasn't trustworthy with it. Because in the past, when I did make a lot of money, I would spend it on things. And not like I would waste it, but I would spend it on things. And then I wouldn't have it. And then I would need more. And then I would just feel like almost like I did. I was kind of scared around money in a way. So, yeah, there's like so much energetics that goes into money. Like we've mentioned, trust and gratitude and worthiness and all of these amazing things. And maybe to reel it back in a little bit to more logistical side of it, what would your recommendation be for someone who is really ready to up-level their wealth, up-level the money that they make, the money they receive, the money that they manage? What would be maybe like a three-step, like if you had three basic steps or tips that you would give them more logically, what would those be?
Yeah, the first one would be just get clear on why you want to do it. And the reason isn't because you want to have more money. Like, have a greater reason than just watching your account balances grow, because that's going to get to the point that that's as exciting as watching paint dry. So, and then you'll go
Intention.
in and undo all your work. And then the second thing is really just think about obstacles that may come up, or what your plan is for when obstacles come up, because people think things like a job loss are like things that automatically set them back on the journey. And when I work with my clients, I teach them, here's how to make a job loss actually accelerate your journey, because, you know, getting rid of the boss from hell, always a money-making move. Being able to get your time back to find something you love, always a money-making move. Like, how is this negative thing really amplifying what you want? And then also just focus on priorities. Don't try to do everything at once, because that's exactly what's going to cut off all your hard work. Because when we get excited, we want to do 25 things at once, but then we split our focus and our attention, and none of them get done well. So let's focus on no more than three things to really do. And then once we get those three things done, we can go tackle something else on the list. But let's just try not to do it all.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good one for me, because I get really scattered easily. And I had to like set a rule for myself where I literally was like, no, three projects, three missions at a time, Elfina, no more than that, because you'll get distracted. I love that around intentions and also preparing for potential blockages. And with intentions, so, you know, I think that we can get really focused on, okay, well, you know, I need this money for a new home or a new car or paying my bills or whatever it is. But what I'm learning and understanding about intentions around money too is that as we continue to step into our dharma, our purpose for the world, the money that's coming to us isn't all just for us. When we have these greater purposes and missions, and we're building businesses and we're building, you know, healing epicenters, whatever that is, this work is for humanity. This work is for so many others. And the more that I've kind of humbled myself and been like, okay, universe, what am I meant to do? How am I supposed to show up to support others? And it isn't just about me. Then there is like this kind of dam that's been breaking. And I think more money wants to flow through, because that money is also being used to support others, and it's not just in a selfish way. And so I do believe there's something about being in alignment with your purpose and really fully receiving and saying, I'm going to use this money for something greater than just myself, that also really frees the money and allows it to overflow. And of course, you'll be taken care of, like you'll be overflowing so you can overflow your cup to other people too.
Yeah, I love that. Manifestation. I mean, it feels like it's tying into manifestation, right? Like, if I want $100,000, it's like, yeah, it's nice. Like, oh, I have $100,000 in my bank account. That's cute. But writing out, and this was a process I moved through before I received a good amount of money. And it was like, what am I going to do with the money once I get it? Right.
Yeah.
Literally like writing everything out, like, oh, I want to fly my dad out here and like treat him to a vacation. I want to do this with it. I want to buy myself music classes. And like this process started to build a lot of excitement in me, because I was connecting my emotions to this desire. And yeah, I'm wondering if you work with a similar process with your clients, or if you personally work with that process, or just what your thoughts are on merging those elements.
Well, I mean, there's definitely a part of that, because I can't tell you on the practical side how many clients are like, I'm going to set my eating out budget at zero, and at the end of the month, it's not at zero. That's an emotional decision, but people don't necessarily think of that as an emotional decision. And so there's ways too that even when you're taking the tactical, practical steps of writing out your money in advance of the month and like being like, oh, I'm going to be this A+ student. I have my perfect budget and I'm going to really follow it. And of course, you're an A+ student, so you follow that budget to the T. And then when all these other things happen, you actually have screwed over yourself, because this A+ budget resulted in an F in reality. And so even when we make the plans and we're going for perfection, perfection's a myth, and money does a great job of showing that, because there's no perfect amount of money. There's no perfect budget. There's not, I mean, there's people with rule books and processes and all that. But even then, when you get to the end of the process, your next question can be, now what? I mean, because the emotional side can be, you know, you're completely debt free, house and everything, seven figure net worth, and then you have all these wonderful opportunities come your way, and they're all great, they all align, but now you don't have the time to do them all. And then you're sitting here going, but what do I pick that I know aligns the most? And that's also a hard question to answer. So the emotions of money don't, I mean, you definitely feel it trying to get out of debt, and you definitely feel it if you are in lack, sure. But really the emotions amplify as well, the more and more money you have, because each decision comes at a higher cost. What used to be a $5 decision is the equivalent of a $5,000 decision.
Wow. I heard something recently, a statistic around like money and your emotional well-being, and how it really does make you happier if you don't have your basic needs met. But as soon as you have your basic needs met, money can actually increase stress and increase, you know, all these other emotions that might be a little bit more challenging to deal with. And so, yeah, having like a strong way to emotionally regulate and handle maybe more stressful decisions is really important. It's like a make or break with money. And I'm personally grateful to be on the journey of kind of stripping down to the point where I felt like I had barely anything to get by, and realize that I'm living in Hawaii, I'm living my dream life. Do I really need that much to be happy? And I realized the answer was no. I was the happiest I had ever been when I had like the least amount of money, because I was living around nature, around community, eating fresh foods, going into the ocean every day. And it really reminded me like what's really that important and what really does drive our happiness after we have our basic needs met. And that's a lot of other things. And so building from this point now, I can see that the more money I have, I feel like I'm very happy already. Like, I don't think it's necessarily going to make me happier, but it will open up more opportunities for expansion and learning and connection and all of these other things that I already know make me happy. So I think that there's something really important in that too, to train people. It's not the money that's going to necessarily make you happier. It's how do you, like, back to the intentions, how do you want to spend it? What things make you happy? What are your values? And how can you pour the money into those values, identifying those top values in your life in order to increase your well-being? And like, yeah, I think that also what happens is time, like you were mentioning, right? Like our time becomes the most valuable resource now. If we have the money, then time, we can't get that back. That's limited. And that becomes everything. And then we start to realize, okay, well, how do I want to spend my time? What money is worth my time? And yeah, that feels like something that, I don't know. I'm kind of getting there. I'm kind of getting to that point now where it's like, okay. And then you start working all the time, and then you have money, but now you don't have time. And then now you want more time. So it's just an interesting dynamic, and trying to balance it all out, because one of my biggest fears when I did the shadow work, Carolyn Elliott has an amazing book called Existential Kink. And she has this whole practice called a fears inventory. And you basically write out like what your deepest desire is. And then the whole shadow work practice underneath that is saying all the things that you actually secretly fear in that desire. And my desire that I wrote out was, I want $100,000. I want to receive $100,000. And then I, for weeks, I did this inventory where I wrote out all the things that I actually was terrified when I would receive that money. And one of the biggest things over and over and over again that kept showing up was the fear that if I had all that money, I was going to lose my freedom. I was going to lose my time. And that I was going to lose like a quality of my life that I like, I cherish and I love right now. And so, yeah, there, I think some people also sabotage themselves from receiving that money because they're scared that of losing their freedom, of losing their time, because that is so precious. So I'm wondering, yeah, how do we balance it all? How do we balance the time and the money and the freedom and all of that? Like, what's the successful way to do that?
Yeah, and you've touched on it already, is defining your values, especially I'm noticing like when couples have kids at home, that tends to be the years that they work the most. And then once the kids move out and they finally feel like they can let off the gas, now they can't go back and make memories with the kids because they've moved out, they've had their own families. And so that's why defining those values and getting clear on what you desire, what you're working so hard for, is crucial. And if you don't have that in your financial plan and you're just doing a budget to validate that you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're not going to stick with that financial plan because it makes you feel like crap. Like, you don't go to work, you don't put in all these hours just to be like, oh, I'm going to settle for a paycheck to paycheck life. No, like, that's not fulfilling at all, especially if the work behind it isn't fulfilling. But when we're letting the money make the decisions, we could have a job that we love, but oh, we're short on the money, so maybe I should leave this job I love to go make 50 cents an hour more. And it's like, well, no, because then you're going to spend even more money trying to relieve yourself from the stress. That's going to be more than the extra $4 a day that you're making before taxes. But a lot of people don't bring those processes into their decision-making because they literally are just looking at the numbers thinking that's an apples to apples comparison. It's not. We've got to bring in all these other things because, like, most people have no idea what a night of sleep is worth to them. And it's not that, I mean, obviously they want to sleep and it's a high need, but if I would ask them to put a price tag on it, they're just like, well, I don't know. And there's so many things like that in your life that are important to you. But if you had to put a price tag on it, like, how do you put a price tag on your child? Like, you don't. And so they need to be considered. Things like that need to be considered whenever we're making financial moves, especially if our needs are met, we're getting progress, because that's what's going to make the plan fulfilling and something that we actually want to follow by a choice, instead of feeling like we have to sacrifice and follow out a need.
Yeah, identifying the life that we want to live, like that, it keeps coming back. Like, there's this thread of intention, right? It's like, if we're just making money and we're living paycheck to paycheck and we're not actually fulfilled, we're not living in our heart, like, what sort of life is that? So it feels like a primary step for those listening that are just like beginning your journey and redefining your relationship with money is like writing down or getting clear on the, like, your dream life. Like, what does that look like? And like, that's a really beautiful jump off point, because if you're like, oh, I want a house, or I want a vacation home, or I want to go to this Michelin star restaurant, whatever it is, you know, or I want a retirement plan, like, then you have a jump off point. You're like, okay, how much does this cost? And then you can expand into that container in the next step. But like, that point of intention feels like the foundation of the house of your future financial success and expansion.
Correct. Yeah. And then, piggyback off of that, like, just what's coming through my channel is like almost to do this integrative practice where you start with the logistics, like, this is what I want, a house, a car, whatever it is, you write out the prices. And then on the other side, to bring in more of the energetics, you say, okay, so what value is in that? Like, if I want a house, I value security, whatever those values are, I value a community space. And then you can uncover the values in each of your desires. And then you can really weave in those values into your decision-making and into your life so that you're feeling fulfilled. Because if it's just around the money, and your values aren't being met, then that's when it becomes an empty hole and a black void that doesn't satiate you. But if you can match your money and the way you spend your money with your values, and oftentimes we don't even know what our values are. We can't verbalize them. We just say, well, these are my needs, these are my desires. But when we understand what our values are consciously, we bring those into our conscious awareness, then we can really start to make decisions on how we spend money, how we spend our time in alignment with our values, and just live a more fulfilled and happy life in general.
Yeah. And that's why I do that even now before we make a plan with the numbers, because when my husband and I put the numbers first, we weren't fulfilled, we weren't happy, and we didn't make any progress. And when we flipped it to kind of be like, okay, we remember having a conversation early on in our marriage about, you know, bringing me home when the kids were teenagers with me working. How are we going to make that a reality? And it's like, oh, okay, this is the path to do that. And then when we shifted to starting to make that the reality, we made it happen, even though on paper we couldn't see it for a decade. And that's so that to me is why when I developed my method, I'm like, I have to start with your desires and your values, because if I don't start with that, it's not a plan that's going to work to be sustainable long term. I mean, sure, you might be able to power through it for a year or two, but you don't want to just power through your finances for a year or two, get depressed, miserable, whatever, and then undo that year or two of work. And then you just keep powering through to redo it all. Like that's not a quality of life issue. And I mean, another part of me is I just don't want to work that hard if I don't have to. Like, I'm going to have to go back and do all this rework.
It's feeling like our desires, like what we desire, are this concept of a dream life is the bridge to our financial success and financial freedom, right? If we're, and you hear these stories all the time from people that were like, you know, I think Jim Carrey wrote himself a check for $1 million before he booked this gig. And like his first big role was that, like he was able to cash that check. And like, there was such a level of desire and excitement around that. Like it was already done. He felt it. And when we start to tap into that space of joy and infinite abundance around what we want, that's the guiding force for the expansion of our money container. Like the two coincide. It's like our desires are kind of guiding us there. It's like, hey, this is actually like God, the universe, whatever you believe in, planted these seeds in you for a reason, so you could have these things and serve as an example for other people that it's possible, so that they could have it. And it just, it's really beautiful. I feel like after this call, I'm like going to hit the journal and like, you know, like ink it in. There's something about writing things down for me that really supports my manifestation process and kind of drawing things into my reality that I feel really excited about right now.
Yeah. My new mantra is the more fun and the more pleasure I'm in, the more money I receive. And I really do believe that we can receive, we don't have to make or earn money all the time. We get to just receive money, and we get to receive it when we're in our pleasure, when we're in our bliss, when we're in our joy, when we're in our freedom, when I'm sleeping, when I'm eating, when I'm hanging out with friends. You know, these are portals when we're so magnetic, when we're in that high vibration and that high frequency, things just arrive. Like magical, there's just been so many, of course we have to set up the funnels for the money to come through most of the time, but it's this give and take, this balance of if we're just out there trying to earn and trying to make it happen all the time, that's not really the most magnetic place to be. It's like the dance of setting it up and then leaning back and just allowing it to come and meet us. When really for me, that's like when I'm in my pleasure and I'm in my bliss and I'm just that high vibration, and then things just come to you and you're in that place of love and openness and following your joy. Like there's so much around that, and the world is infinite. We get to create whatever universe we want to. If it's your paradigm and it's your belief that you have to work harder and longer to make more money, then that's what your experience is going to be. But if your paradigm is the more fun and pleasure I'm in, the more money I'm going to receive, then that's going to be your reality. And I would rather have that reality personally. Yeah. Because love and money, I feel like those frequencies are very, very, very connected. The dynamics between those. And we have like 5 minutes left or so. Maybe you can touch on this if it's not too big of something to open up at the end. But yeah, just to see the relationship that you've noticed between love and money would be really interesting to hear.
Well, I'll just share the story about how I met my husband. I had interacted with him one time before this happened and clearly had no idea when this happened. I was like, I was going to marry this person. There was an event that my friend wanted to go to at someone's house. And I was like, I'm not going. And this friend was normally very quiet, very reserved. And I don't know what got in her this day, but she was like insistent. Like she probably asked me like 25, 30 times if I was going. And finally I'm like, will you just shut up? I'll just go. Like I was not liking her at the moment. I was not real. And you know what? So I get there and I'm not real happy about being there, but there's this guy sitting out on the porch kind of alone. I'm like, well, no sense of that. I'm just gonna go make small talk. Like I said, I'm not thinking anything romantic about this conversation at all. And he had a need that I could help him with. So we just kept hanging out. And all of a sudden was like, oh, like, okay, that's why my friend was like so insistent to get me there. He didn't, there was no problem of him showing up. I was the one who almost wasn't there. And so we just got to look back on that. Like this this decision that just seemed random was actually not random. It was actually like, hey, this is a pretty important part of your life to get there. And I mean, now I look at that friend and I'm like, thank God you were so insistent, because that day ended up changing my life. I mean, obviously I had no idea it was going to do that, but that just was kind of like, oh, okay, things can just show up, because I was, you know, one of the last ones of my friends to get married, no prospects in sight. I was 26 and I'm like, you know, if I'm going to be single, I'm okay. Like, I was to the point, like, if I'm going to be single my whole life, I'm okay with that. I mean, would I like to meet somebody? Sure. But am I going to be fine single? Yeah, I'm going to be fine. And I had like just gotten to that point where I was like truly content with like being single. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, well, there he is.
Wow. Like as if by divine orchestration.
And then how do you feel like that relates to money and your journey with money?
Yeah, there's times that I've opened my mailbox and I've had a check that I had no idea was coming, no idea what it was for. And it's just been there. Or there's been times where I've had something happen. I didn't really want to spend the money, but it's also like, you know, money, it kind of comes and goes. I mean, obviously I want to have a plan because I don't want it always going with nothing there. So, I mean, a plan is crucial, but just being okay. Like if I save money and I have an unexpected car repair, I don't beat myself up for spending the money on the car repair. I'm like, no, this is exactly what I was here for. Like, because the thing with the unexpected is we always know unexpected events are coming. We just don't know the day and we don't know how much. Those are the only variables that we're missing. And so having a plan for anything unexpected is healthy, because we can have all the best thoughts in the world and bad things can still happen. And also just realizing like, this is just part of life, and we're prepared as much as we can, but we're never going to be prepared 100% for anything, and that's okay. Like that's what keeps life exciting.
Yeah. Like you're like loving, I mean, like with this financial security in the moment, you're loving your future self in advance, right? You're kind of setting yourself up for success, and that just feels so compassionate and so beautiful. And then when these things happen, you're not like, oh my God, this is so stressful. You're like, nope, that's exactly like what this was for. Like I almost as if I knew this was coming and it's perfect.
Yeah.
Really beautiful perspective, Angie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The word that's coming through is non-attachment. And like non-attachment, this Buddhist Zen kind of practice of living on either end. Like non-attachment, you weren't trying to look for your partner. You were happy being single. And there he was, you received. Or non-attachment on the other end where, oh, I have an unexpected bill I have to pay. All right, that's fine, I'll pay it. I know more money's gonna come back. It's like not getting attached when we have a lot and not getting attached when we don't have as much, and just being more neutral about things and just having, going back to trusting and trusting that it's always gonna be flowing in and out, and not attaching to either extreme, but finding peace with what is. So that kind of puts a bow and a cherry on top of this really beautiful conversation. I feel like we went into so many avenues, like explored and excavated all sorts of little mines, found lots of gems, found lots of treasures. And it sounds like your program sounds incredible. It sounds super supportive, super helpful. I'm really interested. I want to learn more, especially around that 10K. It was like finding $10,000 in unexpected places. That's part of your program.
Yeah, that's part of the program. I did it as a challenge. And now that's a concept that I teach my clients.
That's incredible. I want to give you the opportunity now, Angie, to share what may be like something that you're offering, as well as how listeners and viewers can find you and work with you more one-on-one. Or two-on-one, I guess, if you're supporting couples.
Yeah, so my niche is couples. I do not turn away individuals, though. So I can be found on Instagram, Facebook, and Threads. The handle is @financecoachac. My website is carlsonfinancialcoaching.com. And the email is angie@carlsonfinancialcoaching.com, where I teach couples how my agree and achieve methods so that they can relieve that money tension in their relationship once and for all. And thank you so much for having me on here. And I look forward to hearing from any of your listeners who may need my support. The first conversation's always no cost to them. So they can come have a conversation. If we're a great fit, I'll share what that's like. If not, no worries.
Thanks for
asking. And I want to just say one more thing around like the love and money that's just coming through. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm sure that the couples that you help and coach around money directly improves their relationship in like every other way.
Amen. Yes, it does. Cause when you start believing that money tension, it's amazing. Like how many other places just start becoming better. Not that we've worked on it. It's just a byproduct of the work.
Yeah.
Better sex.
Absolutely. Relating back to those values. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you, Angie, again. Thank you, Heather. Thank you each and every one of you who have listened and followed this conversation. Conversations like this are what we're all about on Taboo Talks here. We have these conversations every week, exploring and excavating different topics. So if this conversation stuck out to you, supported you, helped you in some way, we really encourage you to share it, like it, subscribe, follow us on YouTube at Taboo Talks Cis Society, as well as Instagram Cis Society World. And yeah, continue this conversation because we wouldn't be here without you. So your support truly does make all of the difference. And please reach out to Angie if this is something that you feel it could benefit you or could benefit your relationship. I honestly think everyone could benefit from having financial support. So again, thank you for joining us and tune back in next week as we continue to explore the shadow realms. And remember, the only thing taboo is not talking about it.